Welcome to Power User Podcast, brought to you by neowin.net and wincustomize.com. I'm your host, Kristen Hatcher. In this segment, we're discussing Internet Explorer 7, which is currently in developer beta, which is a private beta. Joining me are Chris Quillis, Vice President of Development at Stardock Corporation, and Paul Krebs, who is a NeoWin news editor. Of course, I do know that power users can get passionately involved in their computers and software, so first are the ground rules, guys. No cursing, no kicking, no pinching, no biting, no personal attacks. Can you dig that, Chris?
How many languages can you swear in?
Well, I think if we just avoid swearing in English, we might be okay.
I'll see what I can do.
Okay, how about
I'm
you,
cool
Paul?
With that, too,
All right,
Kristen,
good. So. Excellent. So Internet Explorer 7 is currently, as I said, in developer beta, meaning people like yourselves who are power users or developers or people who are kind of in the know are allowed to take a look at it and, you know, see what's going on with it. They've got three different areas that they're trying to focus on improving for this build of Internet Explorer. And the first one is security, which they are referring to as dynamic security protection. They're trying to help us not get all kinds of spyware and malware and, you know, helping us avoid those phishing scams, which I hate so very, very much. Chris, what is your current take on this build? Of course, we want to, you know, acknowledge that it is a beta, but what is your take on the security protection improvements in Internet Explorer in this particular build?
I think that after years of neglecting Internet Explorer, Microsoft has made a concerted effort to refocus on the underpinnings and to really recognize that Internet Explorer and websites in general are a vector for attack these days.
Right.
By having their developers go back and really go through the code base and try and, from the ground up, provide more security inside Internet Explorer, not mm-hmm. only on the forthcoming Windows Vista, but for, you know, the hundreds of millions of people who are using XP. I think they've gotten a new base to build on in terms of features going forward that are more visible to the end user.
Right. And, you know, of course, security has been an issue for a long time, but, you know, better late than never, right? Better than not having any security at all.
That depends on when it's going to be released.
Right,
we still don't
true.
Really have a roadmap in terms of where Internet Explorer 7 is going to go. We can assume that there's going to be a beta 2, you know, mm-hmm. maybe a beta 3, then
right.
some release candidates.
Right.
And sometime in the next year, we'll see this as shipping code.
Right. And by that time, who knows if it's even going to be effective anymore at that point because the technology changes so fast, which is, of course, ever the problem with software developers. The technology changes so fast and it's hard to keep up with it all. Paul, how do you feel about the new security protection features? You just wrote a review on neowin.net, did you not?
Yeah, I did. That's right. And there seems to be a lot of interest in it, too. We posted it about noon today, I think,
mm-hmm.
and there's already about 25,000 people that have taken a look at it.
Mm-hmm.
So it does seem to be a hot topic. With security, it's a long time coming. I mean, like, Microsoft
right.
really hasn't refreshed their browser since,
mm-hmm.
like, Internet Explorer 6. And even with the improvements they did in SP2, they're still way behind the ball, or were way behind the ball until this point when they released Beta 1.
Mm-hmm.
But in this one, they've included anti-phishing stuff. There's an anti-phishing wizard, and what they're going to be
That's
doing
good.
Is building on top of the Microsoft anti-spyware tool that they released a while back.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be using a similar database to that, and people will be able to report websites that appear to be malicious or that the phishing filter saw as malicious. And they'll be able to record that, and if other people run into the same site, they'll be able to go back and look and say, okay, well, this person or this number of people have experienced the problem on the site, so it'll
mm-hmm.
be flagged. Another thing they did in for security, anyways, is the whole pop-up routine in ActiveX, supposedly they're tightening that up. They're not including anything different with pop-up blocking. They're going to leave that to toolbars and third-party applications like they did with IE6.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of the stuff, yeah, it's a long time coming.
Right, right. Well, better late than never sometimes, but then again, you know, the people out there who are creating these scams move so fast that by the time they release Internet Explorer 7, it's possible that they'll have found another way around it. So individually.
That's just it. Yeah. We had Firefox and Opera that have been working on their mainstream browsers for several years now. Especially Firefox, they've just really been leading the way with anti-spyware stuff. Like, I know Brad Wardell was talking to me the other day, and he was saying that he really hasn't gotten any spyware or malware on his computer since he switched over to Firefox.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
And I mean, the opportunity is there for Firefox, and to a lesser extent Opera, to continue to expand their market share, certainly in the realm of the power users. Because let's remember, once Internet Explorer 7 is actually released, you know, you still have to wind up getting it. And it's not going to be on your mom's home PC probably anytime soon.
Well, my mom's home PC is another issue entirely. She's not what you'd call a power user, but... That's another story for another day, right? The next topic, or rather feature, I guess, in Internet Explorer is end-user features. They're trying to do some things like better navigation through tabbed browsing and shrink-to-fit web page printing, which is actually a nice thing to have when you're trying to print out a web page. It doesn't, you know, go off into never-never land off the sides of the page. Paul, we'll start with you on that one. How are they coming along with their new features?
Well, what they're really trying to do with IE7, right off the bat, you'll notice when you boot it up, if you have it installed on your system, they've really redone the entire layout of the browser. The file menus have been moved down, the control set has been moved down, like your home and your favorites button.
Mm-hmm.
And they've really redone the top as well, with the tabs being in the middle now, and you have the back and forward buttons. And they created a new hybrid stop / refresh button that by default sits to the right of the address bar there.
Mm-hmm.
So they're really trying to improve it. What I find, too, I reflected that in the review, was they really have a lot of the stuff backwards. Like, I mean, the tabs are sitting in the middle, the file menu's on the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at any other browser that's out there now, be it Firefox, Opera, there's a standard. There's a de facto standard that's been created.
Mm-hmm.
And Microsoft seems to be going against this. Whether or not it's going to change, we'll see in the PDC refresh, or we'll see in the Beta 2 refresh. But as it looks right now, I'm kind of disappointed with the way the interface looks, especially because you can't customize it to the way other browsers look like. So.
Right. Although, you know, to put in a word for Microsoft, I would say that their audience is not necessarily power users, but people who are used to seeing the same thing. So they're probably, you know, in a tough place in terms of trying to redesign it. If they make it look completely different, people get, you know, people who are not used to seeing changes like that might get a little bit
crazed. Well, that's just it. Firefox has taken 10% of the browser share in a matter of years, and now Microsoft is going back to the drawing board and saying, well, look what they did and all the features that they've included with Firefox.
Right.
And they're saying, well, we have to do something. We have to give them tabs. We have to give them the customizability and all that to go through. So.
But it's not clear, I think, certainly in terms of running this on XP, that this UI convention is the way to go. And hopefully they're going to get enough feedback from the developers and the other people who are testing it at this early stage that they get a chance to go back and revisit this. A lot of this UI stuff, these new conventions, you're also seeing in the Windows Vista build.
Mm-hmm.
And to what extent they're going to be kept, as opposed to, you know, the years that we've had to become accustomed to the standard UI conventions to train people on how, what, where, and why things work. You know, some of that's been tossed over the side of the board here. So it'll be interesting to see what revisions they make in the coming months.
Okay. And Chris, any other words on end user features that are being implemented in this new?
Well, frankly, I'm thrilled that whenever I try and print something, it's not going to wind up with half the characters tossed off into Never Never Land. I always figured someday I'd find them with my lost pencils and mismatched socks.
Right.
The tabbed browsing is adequate, I guess is the best term for it in this release.
Mm-hmm.
One of the new things that I'm particularly keen on in terms of broadening the market for this sort of things is the RSS discovery for various internet feeds that you can will scan the web page you're on and indicate if there's an RSS feed that you can subscribe to for that page so that you can keep track of updates there in the future. And there's a lot to be said for something that goes out and aggregates that content for you being in the base OS. Though I'm sure all of the other RSS aggregators and browsers will continue to innovate and build on top of that.
Well, definitely. If there's one thing I could highlight, too, as being the best feature of this beta, it's the way they did RSS. I mean, it's really amazing. You click on the feed button and on all your stuff's there. I know Firefox and Opera and all of them, they have the same thing, but
right.
just the way the content is laid out on their pages is very nice. And eventually the feeds, it won't only be RSS, it'll also be Atom feeds, too. So users
Great.
Really have a lot of choices with that.
Well, that's terrific. And, of course, we're very concerned with having good RSS feeds, being a podcast and all. So that's good news for us. Web development standards. They are trying to include some improved support for cascading style sheets, as well as transparent PNG support. You know, what else is going on there, Chris? What can you tell us about what they're improving in that area?
Well, this is kind of Microsoft's kind of screwed no matter what they do here. For years, they've more or less maintained that they didn't necessarily have to go back and update these things, that Internet Explorer would not be updated as a browser, that it was part of the OS, and only with new revisions of the OS would you see updates. They've gone back on that, obviously, over the course of the last year with regards to the IE7 development. And indeed, they've gone through and started fixing some of the bugs that have plagued web developers for years, including adding transparent PNG support, which is, only about 6-7 years overdue.
Mm-hmm.
But, that's fine and dandy for the web developers, but
right.
you're never going to make them totally happy, because
right.
whatever standards are out there that other browsers claim to support, Microsoft generally tends to pick and choose which one of those that they'll actually be totally on board with.
I see. Yeah,
to be fair to Microsoft, though, on their IE blog, they did post that their intent was to build a platform that does eventually comply with web standards. And they highlighted CSS 2 and 2.1 once it's been recommended. But we do have to throw Microsoft some slack here. I mean, this is their first attempt at a browser in a long time. And a lot of stuff has changed.
Mm-hmm.
But don't expect full CSS 2 support in IE7, not by any means.
Right. But it is getting better, at least. So
they're trying.
That's
what I said. In the review,
they're
trying. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
And they've got some time to work at this, too. I mean, this is an early build that's, like they say on the page, it's really intended for developers. This is
right.
not something that you're going to run out and put on your home PC, or
right,
it's
right.
certainly not on your mom's PC quite yet.
Right.
But give them time to get the stuff baked in and to sort out the details.
Right. And, of course, the whole purpose of a beta like this is to get that kind of feedback from developers and find out what's needed and what's working and what's not, right? So hopefully we'll see some good improvements from this beta to the final version, I imagine. Any final thoughts, Chris?
No, I'm good for now.
Okay, cool. Paul, anything else you want to add?
Just generally, people should have an open mind when they come to this. It's beta 1. We
yeah.
highlighted that. It's only a look at things to come. You can expect the final release of IE7 to be sometime in really late 2005, early 2006. But because the development is so closely tied to Vista, like you'll notice, IE7 Beta 1 is build 5.1.1.2.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the exact same as Vista Beta 1.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd probably guess sometime early 2006 you'll see the final.
Okay, great. That's good to know. Well, thank you both, Paul Krebs from neowin.net and Chris Quillis of Stardock, for joining us. And thanks for joining us, everyone who's listening in. Check out Paul's review of IE7 at www.neowin.net. It'll be up on the main page as of the time of this recording, or it will be archived in the reviews section. This podcast was brought to you by neowin.net and wincustomize.com. Catch us every week at www.poweruser.tv.